Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Good morning, Soul Patrol. Soul Patrol, this Monday morning, we're 10-8. I'm a single officer car today. We are ready to go this fine Monday morning. Welcome, everybody, to Jesus 911. This is Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My partner, Jess Romero, is taking some well-deserved time off today. So I just wanted to say hello to everybody. We need to make a mention here, and before I go any further, I'm going to say reporting for duty, sir. And one of the things we want to do here is remind everybody what the Jesus 911 show is all about. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have muscular Catholicism, muscular Christianity, done by Jess Romero and Ruben Nava. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, myself and Jess Romero usually tackle topics on spiritual warfare. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. We have a couple of good topics today. I am going to talk about, I'm going to talk a little bit later in the show about how pro-choice essentially equals pro-death, pro-suicide. And right now I'm going to tackle a topic that has been questioned throughout the years recently, has had some things going on with it that people are not sure. So we're gonna talk about it this morning. We're going to talk about ashes, how to dispose of human remains and how it's being done today, how it should be done. So we're gonna get into it. Okay, so. You surely have noted how many are being cremated these days, something the church has previously wavered about, but now fully accepts, and how many, mainly outside of Catholicism, are having their ashes scattered in various and sundry imaginative places. The church tells us we can't simply scatter remains, so we know that that's something that Catholics cannot do, admonishing us to find a particularly sacred place for ashes. Preferably in the ground, and decidedly not in the mantle, in a home, nor any other exotic locales. So I remember some years ago, a good friend of my mother's who passed away a few months after her. I was helping the family with the funeral arrangements, and the father told me that he had bought a plot. And actually an urn that housed both him and his wife, and that he didn't want to bury the wife until he was dead. His children could consolidate the ashes and then bury it then. So to this day, he has his wife, her cremated remains on the mantle of their home. I've been there since then. I've seen it there. And this is after I explained to him and I told him what the church's thoughts were behind this and why they prohibited that kind of behavior, but he decided to do it anyway. So what I wanted to do briefly here is to go over a couple of catechism verses that really talk about cremation, talk about what's respectable for the body for human beings, and so look at Catechism section 2299. This is what it says. It's headed Respect for the Dead. The dying should be given attention and care to help them live their last moments in dignity and peace. They will be helped by the prayer of their relatives, who must see to it that the sick receive the proper time and the sacraments that prepare them to meet the living God. So this is, of course, the sacrament of last rites, anointing of the sick. If at all possible, our duty as family members of those loved ones who are coming close to the reality of their death, seek for them a priest to come and make make their death according to Catholicism, according to the sacraments, And this is whenever they're coming close to dying, we don't want to wait till the very end, but we want to make sure they have the benefit of confession, especially, and the apostolic pardon, which is given most of the times through the anointing of the sick. Catechism section 2300, the very following section, says, "The bodies of the dead must be treated with respect and charity in faith and hope of the resurrection. The burial of the dead is a corporal work of mercy. It honors the children of God who are temples of the Holy Spirit." So our baptized bodies as Catholics are temples of the Holy Spirit. Whenever we are in a state of grace and we remain in a state of grace, we possess the Holy Spirit. I say that cautiously, through God's grace. So just as a tabernacle holds the Eucharist, we as temples of the Holy Spirit hold the hold the Holy Spirit. We actually possess it in that sense. 2301 says the following: autopsies can be morally permitted for legal inquests or scientific research. The free gift of organs after death is legitimate and can be meritorious. The church permits cremation, provided that it does not demonstrate a denial of faith in the resurrection of the body. So when we cremate loved ones, when loved ones potentially before their death make this decision that they want to be cremated, what must occur is that the people making these decisions, especially if they're of sound mind and body, have to realize that because the cremation occurs, does not affect what happens after that. And what happens after that is that when Jesus comes a second time, as we recite every Sunday at the Creed, he will separate the sheep from the goats. He will separate people either to eternal life or to eternal darkness. And so if we spread these human remains, having been decided by our loved ones, we have to remember they have to be in a sacred place. So, for example, if we spread the ashes on the beach so that they could be happy forever in this very beautiful setting, the peaceful coming in of the waves, et cetera, we have to realize that the beach will someday cease to exist. The mountains, for example, that will cease to exist. Las Vegas, for those Catholics who really want to put their loved ones in a happy place, will cease to exist. And so the only place other, so every place other than the New Jerusalem, the new church will stop, will cease to exist. So we have to remember that. And we have to make sure that we place our loved ones in this very sacred place, whether it be at a cemetery, buried, and then later on, if necessary, our spouses joined with us, if that's the case. So it says, for exotic places are very much in cremation vogue. To wit, cremains have been sprinkled into comic books, blasted from shotguns, inserted into diamonds and tattoos, and even sent into space, which will also cease to exist. Cremains have found their way into snow globes, hourglasses, and teddy bears. Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones is said to have snorted the remains of his father along with a little cocaine. These do not strike me as a dignified send-off. And that's what we're really called to do, is to give our loved ones a dignified send-off. A recent story informs us that many have their cremation ashes sprinkled at Disney attractions, and specifically, ironically, at the Haunted Mansion ride. We all have been on the Haunted Mansion ride, more than likely, and we understand the general dynamic of that attraction, where there's life beyond death and ghostly figures mixing it up with the reality of human life. And so there's some truth to that. like what is found in spiritual warfare? There's some truth to what maybe the demons communicate through the affected victims, but there's also lies, and that's what we have to be careful of. Says one report, to deal with the expanding problem, Disneyland's custodial department has recently purchased special vacuums with HEPA filters to clean up the symbolic scene. These vacuums can capture the tiny cremated ash of human remains while also capturing the small bone fragments that often remain after cremation. When cast members witness the scattering of a powdery substance on a ride, they are required to call the janitorial hotline and quietly use the code HEPA cleanup. So these attendants on the ride, especially at the Haunted Mansion, are focused in on when people are on the ride and they begin to sprinkle ashes, which is kind of creepy in itself, I would say. But the fact that they realize that might be a human person that's being sprinkled on that ride is something that they're trained to note and then refer that to a different department. Very, very interesting that they even had this. As a result, that attraction may become more haunted than has been bargained for. And for sure, it is not a sacred place. Many are those who report spiritual activity at graveyards. Is the same true of ashes? Can spirits attach to them? We're going to get the answer to that question when we come right back here on Jesus 911. Stay with us.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back, Jesus 911 here. I'm Eddie Chavez. My partner, Jess Romero, is taking some well-deserved time off. He'll be back tomorrow with Ruben. We're covering a topic about cremation and the spreading of ashes specifically. and how it has a connection to spiritual warfare. And this is really the pivotal point of the argument, is that, for example, at Disneyland, especially the Haunted Mansion, and other attractions there as well, there are people that have been noted to spread ashes that turn out to be human remains spread out at that attraction, and they have a special cleanup now called the HEPA cleanup. So they're required to notify a cleanup crew that comes with special vacuums that take in, that suck in the human remains that have been sprinkled out there. And the question for us as we talk about this topic is, they're asking, can spirits attach to this? Okay, so let's talk about that. This question, absurd on the surface, is asked because, to take a small snippet from a recent special report about spirits of the deceased, there was a Christian Oxford-educated English psychotherapist named Kenneth McCall who recalled the strange feeling those who attempted to preach from a pulpit of a certain Anglican church in England reported. So oppressed, they usually stepped down from it, refusing to speak from the pulpit. Dr. McCall investigated and found out that the ashes of a former clergyman had been scattered there. A brass plate in the pulpit balcony commemorated it. The doctor also found that this preacher had spent his later years depressed and immersed in the occult. Spirit transfer. So let's talk about that. Let's break that down a little bit here. So spirits, let's specifically say evil spirits, do not transfer in that sense. Most exorcists will tell us that that does not occur. However, we have to remember that evil spirits can be transferred from one area, from one location, from one setting to another. Now, remember, what we're talking about here, first case scenario before we, as we dig into this, first case scenario is the spreading of human remains, cremation, the spreading of the ashes in different places. So there can be disembodied human souls that, knowing they are not buried properly, are asking for help, asking for prayer help from people who they know might help them, can help them, will help them. I want to talk real quickly about an individual I helped from CHP some years ago, where she had a young child that she had adopted, her and her husband, and they had an issue with this baby who was looking to a corner at different times of day and night and seeing red eyes. They were seeing certain things. So she bought I'm going to describe it as a nanny cam, and actually filmed the little boy sleeping with her father. And after a couple of weeks, they reviewed the tapes, and they found that there was some indication on those tapes. I have them. She sent it to me. But you could see where there were certain things, for example, in this case, a blue orb that was clearly visible on several videos while they were sleeping. So she contacted me through some people at work, and I was already retired. And we went over there. I went over there with a priest, and we blessed the house. Now, this young lady is not Catholic, married to a Catholic whose in-laws are devout. And so after that occurred, and after talking to me and explaining why, you know, what was going on, she understood it, she accepted it, and the blue orbs went away. Now, this is what, 3-4 years ago, she calls me this just the other day, and says, "Hey, the same situation is occurring now," and so she sent me some more nanny tapes, and I was able to view them, and sure enough, it's back. So this is the one thing I didn't do that we're talking about here specifically is, at that time, I didn't direct her to ask for prayers. What happened is this adopted little boy was adopted from a family whose father was killed in a gang some gang warfare. And so what I did was I told her, I says, you know what, why don't you go and offer a mass? And she says, well, I'm not Catholic. I don't understand that. But what we're requiring here, what I think is happening, is you have a disembodied human spirit, like we're talking about here in this first case scenario, a disembodied human spirit that is asking for prayers. And because he was a gang member involved in gang violence, died as a result of gang violence, he's asking the only person that he knows of that might solicit help, might help him through prayer to come back and help him. So therefore, what we did was I had to do that. Now, I'm currently waiting to see if that's going to work. I mean, that's the reality of it. However, in this first case scenario, that's what some disembodied human spirits can be doing, asking for help. And these are not usually nefarious chaos producing type of situations. It's basically an orb or some vision that somebody has that requires this to occur. Now, the second scenario with the spreading of these ashes is using the unfortunate for us, but fortunately for the demons, an evil spirit is able to present as a human soul or trick a person that he is the soul of the person that died and ask for help. So essentially what happens in this scenario is if the demons are aware that there has been human remains spread at some place, whether it be a home, a backyard, wherever it is, they can present themselves as somebody who actually does know about the deceased member's life, the end of their life, and present as them desiring communication with or communication from a vulnerable soul, some Catholic or Christian that is not aware of the fact that they should not communicate with spirits in that regard. And so for no other purpose but to establish a rapport with the individual, this could be what's occurring. So I'll explain a little bit later why Dr. McCall actually was maybe misdirected in his research. We'll talk about that. These days, when at the beach, on a ship, on a mountain, along a river, wherever, we have no idea if we're stepping on someone's ashes. Remains are all over the place, and that raises dispositional issues, the likes of which we as a society have not encountered before. Most incredibly, and underreported by the news, the state of Washington, for example, has recently approved using human remains as compost. So let's talk about that. Human remains as compost? We're going to place a grandma into a compost pile? A loved one will spend a long time in the compost pile, which is basically, this is the definition of a compost pile, is a decaying mixture of organic plant material that regenerates after being placed in this pile, this gathering of compost. So that's what I'm saying. People are not aware the human value of life, the human value of a soul, which will never die. The soul lasts forever. And so we have to be aware that being called to greatness in this life, being called above and beyond what most people see as normal, average human behavior, mediocre, just accomplish what's absolutely necessary, nothing beyond, you know, after death, put me in this compost pile. That's much cheaper. As a matter of fact, that's why the church allows the cremation to be done, after all, because it became so very, very expensive at Catholic cemeteries to bury somebody. We experienced that with my mother and my grandmother, several years ago. But the reality is that and some of these Catholic cemeteries, I have to be a little bit critical here, is they don't help matters. At a particular Catholic cemetery that I went to, we walked into the office, the casket room, as they call it, and they have their little, the side of the casket, how it looks on the inside, where you'd like your deceased loved ones to remain. I remember seeing in the corner some glittering gold, and I walked over there, and they were urns. They were urns that on the surface seemed okay. You know, cremation is allowed. The church allows that. So people could be cremated and placed into the urn. However, next to the main urn was small little urns. And I asked, I said, what are those exactly? Well, those are for when the family would like to take part of mom home or part of the loved one home. So you could take it home. Everybody can have a portion of mom. Now, listen, if mom agreed to that, then the whole family's deceived. The reality of Jesus coming back on the last day and separating the sheep from the goats and him calling people back to their bodies, they've lost the actual understanding of what the Catholic Church teaches. And that was the hesitancy of the church to allow this to happen. So we're trying to correct the wrong here. We're trying to essentially allow people to understand what's truly going on with this. So let's go on. A sign of the times. It doesn't get much less dignified, of course. No surprise in an age when fetal remains are dumped as medical waste. Soon noted Cardinal Erhard Hueller, former Vatican official, the majority of people will be cremated. Okay, the church accepts this. Many find it the proper alternative, particularly with the price of funeral homes and graveyards that they charge for the regular burial or entombment. But that doesn't mean we should make the world a graveyard. Dr. Kenneth McCall, who we talked about earlier, I said I was going to get into this. He did some ancestral healing and an investigation of haunted houses. Now, this is what's about his book, one of his last books or his last books called Healing the Haunted. And this is his book. It says, a fascinating collection of case studies from Dr. McCall's work in ancestral healing and haunted houses. Follow Dr. McCall's incredible journey as he identifies the ancestor who was doing the haunting and treats them as a soul in need of help and release. There's something inherently wrong with that, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to examine what that might be after we get back from this short break. Stay with us. This is Jesus 911. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Oh. Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back to Jesus 911. Eddie Chavez here, solo man car. King car today, by myself. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about cremation and the inherent problems with the disposition, the handling of the of putting the loved one's ashes in a dignified place, as opposed to what many people are doing today. I had my own cousin who was born and raised a Catholic, very close to the church, very knowledgeable, so to say, about the Catholic teaching. And when her husband passed away, and he went through some suffering, may God rest his soul. But Bill, she took his urn and she went to the beach. She went up to about waist high, and she spread his ashes on the beach, which I never had the opportunity to discuss with her beforehand. But this is what's happening out there. This is the reality of the cremation, of how cremation is handled, and even how Catholic cemeteries are misleading people of how to take home portions of your loved one and keep them right there on the mantle where you have all the family pictures and everything. That's a little creepy to me. I'm sorry to say that's the case. But we're talking about Dr. McCall's journey here, his a book that he came out with towards the end of his life called Healing the Haunted. And he talks about identifying, this is a specific part of what I want to talk about. He identified the ancestor, because he's done some ancestral healing when it comes to haunted houses, etc. He identifies the ancestor who was doing the haunting and treats them as a soul in need of help and release. This is my problem with this. When somebody does an investigation on their own without the help of a demonologist like Adam Bly or somebody that the church has trained, has taught about this particular ministry, he says he identifies the ancestor who is doing the haunting and treats him as a soul in need of help and release. So let's say you have somebody who's convinced that it's somebody that's from my aunt's, it's an ancestor of mine several generations ago. Can you, Dr. McCall, come to my home and figure it out? And he comes there and he figures out, oh yes, it's a great uncle that is visiting you for some reason, and the reality is maybe it's not a great uncle, maybe it's not someone who is maybe it's not somebody who is harmless. Maybe it's a demon. Maybe it's something that should have been identified as such, because we know high information Catholics from Virgin Most Powerful Radio, we know that demons can present themselves as relatives of the deceased, and could this be going on? So this is an issue I have with Dr. McCall. Although the article that we read was filled with plenty of good information that we took, and hopefully that does some justice for you. The second thing I want to talk about today is called pro-choice and pro-suicide. Pro-choice equals pro-suicide. This is an article taken from the New York Post. It says, evil suicide forum encouraged a woman to kill herself, relatives say. So a young Pennsylvania woman with severe depression and anxiety killed herself after allegedly getting detailed instructions on a site that bills itself as a pro-choice suicide forum. Pro-choice suicide. Sean Shadow, 25, And there's a picture of her. She's a beautiful young lady that obviously had some problems. Was found dead on May 22nd in her family's Newberry Township home by her mother, who thought her daughter had been sleeping. Instead, Jackie Bieber said that she found her daughter blue and cold to the touch after Sean followed clear directions on the website as part of a three-day regimen that included over-the-counter medications to stop her from vomiting the poison that would ultimately end her life. Now, basically, when you introduce something into your body that's toxic, that creates something that you have to vomit or expel from your body, and you take other medications to stop doing that, that's going to create some very dangerous, life-threatening information, as it did with this young lady here. So this must have been a vulnerable young woman who first of all, was troubled enough to search out this pro-choice site, which she probably saw as being, you know, pretty harmless. It's a pro-choice site, which contained precise instructions, not for self-help or for professional care or resources, but to succeed in killing herself in full view of an internet audience who was cheering on her death. Now, not one person said, "There is another way," Bieber told the New York Daily Record. "It's like a cult." Screenshots of Shadow's posts on the site show that she fell asleep and missed one of the steps, Bieber said, prompting another forum member to tell her not to worry. Shadow also wrote down in her journal the list of substances she ingested from a recipe she found on the website, including exact dosages, her relative said. So what kind of individuals are so pro-choice? What kind of people are kind of just preying on people online and ready to witness someone carry out such a hurtful act? How could somebody stand by and allow something like that to occur? In other words, you're online. You have information that somebody is following the instructions provided by that site and how to take your own life, and you're going to sit there and you're going to observe it happen. As a society, do we allow this type of behavior to continue? I want to talk about a case I had that kind of interacts with this. In the early 1990s, I worked in an investigation where it came to light that a trio of people, one female and two males, were on the 5 freeway. The woman was a former relative of Marlon Brando. She was his former daughter-in-law. And she was killed on the I-5 freeway in Monterey, going through East Los Angeles in the Montebello area. We categorized it as an ADW. What happened is assault with a deadly weapon, Assault with a deadly weapon. The weapon is a car, which the victim was helping her friend, who was being dangled in the freeway lane for a car to hit them. So there was some kind of dispute in this car. They pulled over half in the traffic and half out of traffic, and the two males were fighting. This female goes out and she tries to help the one who's being dangled in the lane so that a car might hit them. Well, what happened was a car hit her instead. It killed her, dragged her about 50 feet down the freeway. The district attorney said, after initially rejecting the case, and they said it was not an assault with a deadly weapon. They were trying to figure it out. A matter of fact, I came back and forth to the district attorney's office several weeks as they were trying to determine what it was. But ultimately, they decided that it was similar to someone dangling somebody over a cliff. So the action of dangling somebody is not an assault with a deadly weapon. However, if you dangle somebody over an area or in a location where if something went wrong with the dangling and they were let go, there would be some great bodily injury. That's what they decided this would be would become. And so this is something that's similar to what we're talking about here, is that these people are just kind of hanging around this website that allows people to take this type of action. And we have to stop this as a society from happening. This is what it says. It says, she had her issues, Shadow stepfather, Chip Bieber, told the newspaper. We're working on it, but this website never gave her a chance. Shadow's parents saved screenshots of her posts and gave them to police. They now hope to raise awareness that such evil websites exist and to hold someone accountable in her death. And so, yes, I mean, what do we do as a society? How do we look upon people who are kind of hanging out on this website and exchanging information back and forth? And then when somebody takes the bait, when somebody takes what's suggested by the website and begins to follow, this is a 3-day regimen. In other words, this woman got on this website and she followed steps that took 3 days to complete that people were witnessing. She had posts on there that where she was being guided by the website that gave her the recipe to take something that would cause some kind of toxic reaction within her body. And then maybe on a subsequent day, she took another substance that she purchased over the counter that was able to keep her from expelling this poison in her body. And people are viewing this. People are viewing this from the sidelines. And some of them, as the mother said, were cheering her on. And this is something that's problematic in my view. And I think that that the society has to do something about these type of websites. And there's a list of them here. There's a list of people who do this type of activity, this kind of behavior. And they think because they're not readily identifiable that they can do it from the sidelines, essentially, that they're free from having to have any kind of personal responsibility. That's dangerous. There was a big controversy some time ago about Michael Jackson when he was alive, dangling his child, his stepchild or whatever it happened to be, or surrogate child, dangling them over out of a second story window. I remember seeing the video of it on the news. And so, yeah, we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk a little bit more about this case of people standing by to watch somebody commit suicide on the internet for 3 days in a row. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Terry Barber inviting you, all the men, to a men's conference June 15th at the Sacred Heart Chapel. This is going to be a day where we're going to talk about true masculinity. You know, there's a problem in the Catholic Church today. We have very few men who love the Catholic faith. And I know a lot of the wives that I'm listening to right now are saying, I want my husband to be on fire for the faith. Send him to the men's conference. Your son, send him to the men's conference by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151. That's June 15th. When your husband comes back from this conference or your son, they're going to have a different view about their Catholic faith because they're going to meet three men who love Jesus and his bride, the church, and are going to instill in them a love for Christ and his church, the Eucharist, Our Lady. Bring them to virginmostpowerfulradio.org. Sign up there or call 877-526-2151. Full sheen ahead.
It is only because of your continued prayers and generous donations that Virgin Most Powerful Radio can broadcast live each weekday. We count on your spiritual and financial support because you understand the urgent need for Catholic programming that shares the gospel with clarity and charity, but without compromise. Please prayerfully consider becoming a monthly donor. You can set it up with the touch of a button on our website, CatholicRC.org.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Welcome back to Jesus 911. This is Eddie Chavez. We are coming up to our last segment. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the internet site that guided a troubled young woman to follow a three-day regiment in her own suicide. And we're talking about how can we battle this? How can we go against this culture of death that we live in? Because obviously, you know, there's something essentially wrong with having witnessed this, having a view from the sidelines, and even some people egging her on to complete the process. And so Shadow's parents saved screenshots of her posts and gave them to police. They now hope to raise awareness that such evil websites exist and to hold someone accountable in her death. No one gave her an option to live or for help, Bieber told WPMT. How can these people not be liable? Shadow's aunt, Elizabeth Hoffman, echoed that sentiment, saying other members of the forum were cheering her on to the finish line of a suicide. Newberry Township Police Chief Steve Lutz told the New York Daily Record that investigators were looking into the website along with claims made by Shadow's family. New York County Coroner Pam Gray, meanwhile, characterized Shadow's death as very disturbing and questioned why others online didn't do more to get Shadow the mental health help she needed so desperately. Now, how do we place an expectation from someone on a sideline to help? How do you do this? You know, you either attack the people on the website. Probably a more reasonable response would be to attack the individuals that sponsor the website, that direct the website. But how do you place an expectation from somebody on a sideline to help? I don't think you can. I think that from years beyond, from years ago, there's been this certain expectation. Like if somebody was, you know, walking under, you know, a burning building and there was somebody holding their baby out, certainly you would be called to try to assist that person, assist the baby by helping the person who was dangling the baby. Like, you know, the building is burning. Can you please help catch him? But how many, would we be okay? I mean, is there any precedent? Is there any cases that I couldn't recall any, but is there any cases where somebody was walking by a burning building and somebody's dangling the baby and somebody walking underneath on the sidewalk just said, hey, that's none of my business. I didn't cause that fire. I didn't promote that fire. And you know what? The reality is this guy wants to drop his kid. I'm out of here. I don't know. I don't know how acceptable that is. I don't know how we as a society will allow that to continue to happen. But that's what's going on now. Now, it says, how can people do that and have a conscience and go to bed? Gay told the newspaper. It's just disturbing. And that's what I say. That kind of behavior, that kind of response to what this woman wanted to do, because we already know, you know, psychotherapists tell us that people who request or desire suicide have this inert asking of help. In other words, it's something that they're asking people to, I'm going to kill myself and this is what I'm going to do. Well, what they're doing is they're saying, somebody help me. Somebody help me get out of this situation so that I can recover from this illness, this sickness, this period in my life. And it's not everlasting. It'll end with proper treatment, with proper support, etc. But there's just so much pain out there, ladies and gentlemen. There's just so much pain that this particular woman went through the whole process. And an administrator at the website has acknowledged Shadow's death and confirmed that it deleted her final posts. This was after her death. Shortly after her death, the site posted a disclaimer telling visitors that it serves as a forum to discuss mental illness and suicide from a perspective of suicidal people, as well as its moral implications. So we know that this website is directed towards people with a suicidal tendency, and it says it discusses the moral implications of such. This is a pro-choice forum, not a pro-suicide forum, the site read. We are not a pro-suicide forum, nor do we encourage anyone here to commit suicide. Yet that particular website referred her to another site that gave precise instructions on how to take her own life. We do not provide the means or the tools to do so either. Yeah, they kind of do. The claimer urged anyone feeling suicidal to call a suicide hotline, but also warned that some people may be involuntarily committed to a mental health facility if they do so. Listen, we're all former policemen, former law enforcement here at Jesus 911. We know what a 5150 health and safety code violation is. Okay, 5150 is the California health and safety section for a psychological hold. So what a psychological hold does, it for 72 hours takes somebody, for example, we run into somebody on the street that is obviously mentally impaired. We can take them, legally speaking, to a psych facility that has a 72-hour hold. However, those people, after that 72-hour, can check themselves out. Even if the doctor says, well, we think you need follow-up and you need to go here, those people can check themselves out. So just because they check into a mental health facility doesn't mean that that solves their problem. Doesn't mean that that's the end-all to end-all when it comes to suicide. It's very, very dangerous. And while the administrator said he doesn't blame Shadow's family for wanting someone at the site to be held culpable in her death, he dismissed the allegations that Shadow was encouraged to kill herself. Now, I don't know how this guy, or the site, I should say, gets away with that, because the site itself referred her to a secondary site that essentially led her to take these steps, which would ultimately kill her. And so we know the value of human life as Catholics, ladies and gentlemen. We know the precious nature of our call to come. Yes, and granted, we know there are some people that are called to this life not to enjoy it as others might, but to suffer through it. Some of the greatest saints that we have came to this life and suffered greatly, some for a short period of time, some for a long period of time. And that's just the way this short glimpse of time affects us as human beings. And so even if we suffer for 60, 70, 80 years, what is that in comparison to eternity? What is that compared to what we can ultimately gain by using this suffering, by offering it for others, for ourselves, so that it does some spiritual good to help us attain what God wants us to do? You know, what did Jesus do? Jesus came to this earth. We know that he had 30 years of good life, of healthy life, of life where him and his family grew together. They prayed together. And then at the final stages of his life, the final 3 years of his life, he began to suffer. He began to experience suffering. He saw it coming from a distance and he saw it in front of him. Jesus knew what was going on. You all know the Bible verses about Jesus telling them, don't tell them I'm the Savior. Don't tell them I'm the Messiah. Don't tell them that prophecy, that the Old Testament tells us that the Messiah would have to be killed. This is such a human experience that by negating it, we get ourselves into trouble. It says here, the demonization of this forum by family members and friends of the deceased member on Facebook has been sickening for me to watch, the post read. To say that our community encourages people to commit suicide is simply not true. To say this that this forum murdered this member is false. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, that's all perspective. I mean, they could say that, you know, it made him sick to watch it, but yet the site is there so that somebody that is in the same mental condition as this young lady is going to be led down the same path. Pro-choice is pro-choice. Pro-choice to end a life is the proper end to that sentence. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I need to be aware that saying the words pro-choice doesn't end the sentence. Everybody that says pro-choice needs to follow that up. They need to follow it up with what you and I understand to be the final phrase of that sentence. Pro-choice is pro-death, is pro-suicide. That's just the way it is. We have to remember that this life that we have, as fragile as it is, as precious as it is worth living, is worth struggling through. We all have struggles, ladies and gentlemen. Some crosses are bigger than others. Some sufferings are bigger than others. But you and I have to realize that these sufferings are meant to bring us closer to God. They're meant to bring us closer to Almighty God. And if we ignore the cross, we ignore Christ. We ignore Christ, we ignore heaven. And so we have to realize that this is something that was from the beginning. It was meant to be. Suffering in human life is what you and I have to face, even though our sufferings are not right now what they may be later. You and I need to realize that at some point our life will encompass more suffering, and that's okay. You know, that's okay. Those of us who have been sick, and us at Virgin Most Powerful Radio can attest to this, that these little sicknesses, these little things that present themselves to us, are truly, truly reminders to us that, Eddie, you're not here for very long. You're not here forever. You're not here to attain some super goal. So our job, ladies and gentlemen, is to accept the suffering. Shadow's funeral was held Wednesday in Harrisburg. Her family asked for contributions to be made in her memory to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. And that's what it is, ladies and gentlemen, is to provide the answer to unnecessary, unwanted death here in the United States. That's it. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in to Jesus 911. Tomorrow we'll resume our regular programming with Jess and Ruben. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. Sancte Michael Arcangel, defendenos en proelio. God bless you. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin Most Powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.